There's a concept that I've thought about a fair amount, and several weeks ago we were at Arlington, and Mike Koblenz had a devotional, and now again I don't remember exactly the words that he used, but I said, you know, while I wouldn't have put it exactly in those words, it's a concept I've thought a lot about. Just a day or two ago, I saw something that someone posted that essentially was the same idea. And it was a quote, "I have a past, but I don't live there anymore." And I've thought about that quite a bit, maybe not just in those words, but but the idea, what is the gospel all about anyway? And those that have understood what it meant that the Lord Jesus came, that he gave his life for us, that have said, I take him as my Savior and Lord. It really doesn't matter what the past has been. And so, yes, we do have a past, but we don't have to live there anymore. So in this brief devotion, I'd like to kind of consider two sides. The one is, how do we look at ourselves? And then the second is, how do we look at others? Now, there's a prominent New Testament character. And do you think of him as a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? He describes himself that way in one passage. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah. If you turn to 1 Timothy 2, now when I say he describes himself, he's on his way to say something. And he makes that as kind of a passing statement. That's what I was, but I'm no longer there. And so how did the Apostle Paul look at himself? Do we usually think of those words? Or maybe, are those the first words we usually think of when we think about the Apostle Paul? Well, not really, because there's so much more that the New Testament says about him, and we have so much of what God gave us through the Apostle. And a large part of the New Testament is a result of what God gave him, and he passed on. Start at verse 12, 1 Timothy 1. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Who was before, you see, before. "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And so Paul uses these words to describe what was before. And he says in verse 15, he calls himself a chief of sinners. But it doesn't end there. He doesn't, he had a past, but he's not living there. He says in verse 14, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant." And you remember that when he wrote to the Romans, he said, "Where sins abound, sin abounds, grace does much more abound." And while we wouldn't look at his past as being one in the category of the sins that we were reading this morning, he was calling himself a sinner. He was opposing Jesus Christ. And you know, probably is just a revelation. Maybe I shouldn't even say probably. It is a revelation from the Holy Spirit when he helps each one of us to see ourselves as all being equally needy. Maybe we haven't done some of the things that some have done. But we are creatures of need. We are people who need the Lord Jesus, who need him for salvation. And we're looking at that and in gratefulness, remembering what he has done for us this morning. Now, in terms of what has happened in the past with the legal system, you know, when you've got a record, it's on record. A record is a record. But we're under grace. And so our sins can be forgiven. The psalmist said it this way: there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And so I have a past, but I don't have to live there. And I'll just briefly say what Mike Koblenz was saying. He had read something, and I think he said the Plain Business Exchange or something like that. I wasn't really familiar with the paper, but he was talking about how a man came to the place where he had to look at himself in a different way than other people looked at him. In short, here's what happened. He was a guard and a night watchman for a museum, and apparently there were very expensive items there. And he and another man were on duty, and somehow some fellows that posed as police officers came, and he was deceived and let them in, and they tied up him and the other man so they couldn't even get to the place where the button was that they could push the silent alarm so the real authorities could come. And in short, so what happened, they seemed to know what they were after, because they took maybe an hour and took just certain items and escaped. And I think the value of it was at $550 million. Well, he was known as the man who let the thieves in. But at some point, he came to the place where he realized he doesn't have to let that define himself. And he, I think maybe Mike said, he looked at, he can work at being a better father. So the question is, or whatever else responsibility any of us have, we need to look at, what does God want for me now? How do we look at ourselves? You know, we all have a past, but we don't have to live there. We don't have to be defined by what happened in the past. We're not locked into that. Now, that was how others looked at him, and he had to choose to look at himself differently. Now, an additional question for me is, how do we then look at our brothers and our brothers' past? And so we go to two passages in Corinthians. The one is 1 Corinthians 6, and the other is 2 Corinthians 5. Now, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, in chapter 6, he was reprimanding them for going to law against another. And I'm just reading this passage to make a point. He says, such were some of you. Here's what he says. This was your past. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You see, that was your past. But, he says three things: you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so, how do we look at people and their past? He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5, and I'd like to read verses 14 through 17 there. And the verse we find there, the one verse we find that is a very familiar verse that I think can rightly be applied to ourselves when we say, wherefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But as I look at this passage, actually it seems like he's saying, it's in the context of how he looks at other people. Notice how it says it in verse 16. I'm going to start in 14 though. For the love of Christ constraineth us, or motivates us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And then this verse. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we had known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And so someone's comment was that he simply looked at Christ as being another man. But he was in error. That's not who Christ was. And now he goes on and says then, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so he said at the beginning of 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. And so the thing I'm calling us to is, how do we know others? How do we look at others? And I hope I'm not misinterpreting this passage by saying this is what it's saying, but I think certainly the concept is a scriptural one, that we don't look at others based on their past. When they have come to Christ, he said in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, such were some of you, and he laid quite a list. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. So that's really what the gospel message is about. And, you know, the religions of the world are about trying to either appease the gods or do penance or whatever. But the gospel message is, it doesn't matter where we have been or what we have done. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That's what the psalmist said. And so that's the good news. The gospel message is, it doesn't matter what we have done. And as well, that there is no way of earning our way to God. And so as we meditate on the fact of our standing with and before God, based on what the Lord Jesus has done, are we saying, as we remember that this morning, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Thank you for opening up the way to you. So that's what we're remembering, and that's what we're celebrating. Shall we kneel? Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for what he has done. Thank you for opening up the way to yourself as the Father through him, through his broken body and his shed blood. Thank you that there is forgiveness of sins. Thank you that we do not have to live in the past. Thank you that you have made us a new creation, new creatures in Christ. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And also thank you for the body, that we can have this special service commemorating what the Lord Jesus has done together as a body. And so we just pray your blessing on each part of the service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.